I want to thank you all for praying for me for the last few weeks. I'm not going to adjust this because you'll just have to put it back down. It's kind of nice that it's wonderful to be home in my home church for a change. This is the I think this is the second time I've gotten to be in my home church since September. And it's really great to be here. And it's nice to go away because I come back and I see some people I haven't seen in a while, like Leland and Joe. And I think I may go away more if I go to church while I'm here. Is it me? Everyone came to church today? Well, I just want to tell you where I've been. The last month, I was able to worship in Miami. Tremendous time there in Miami. It was their association of churches and all the churches in Florida and Georgia. And
North and South Carolina
churches all got together. And this was a lot of fun because several hundred people. And if you know anything about those churches, especially in Florida, they're three quarters black. Okay, Jamaican black, a lot of them, and Southern American black, and they all can sing. Now, what is it? And so they came and they brought their choirs.
Right.
And so there would be these choirs of 20, you know, sometimes the whole church would get up in the choir. They said, okay, now Fort Lauderdale Church is going to bring us some music. So 30 people stand up and they all come up. And this place just, the wall shook for, and it was a lot of fun. And the people in the audience, and I have film, I brought film of this, and Jeremiah, we're going to put together a little thing of this and let you show. They don't sit there. Everyone's on their feet and they fill the aisles and everyone dances while we sing. And it was just and I think there's something I noticed too. The older you are, the more energetic you dance.
We have 80-year-old ladies out there in the aisles.
Our executive director and I sat together during one of the services. And of course church starts at 9 and goes until 9 at night. But we just said, you know, could we pick up this kind of enthusiasm and take it to every other association in the country? They know how to do it. And it was great. They had seminars. It was just a great time in Miami and there. And then I've been in Alfred Station, New York. And they put me to work. I got to preach in the morning. And then in the afternoon, they took me to their youth retreat, which was at a camp near there, and so all the kids were. And then I had to do an hour program for them. And then that night, they invited the whole community and done a lot of publicity on radio and television. And I did my new one-man show for them. And what was neat about that is the church was packed out, completely full, standing room only, and two-thirds of the people there were not church members.
Right on.
You know, the community really turned out, and that was really great. Then I spent a weekend in Denver, and then this very last week, which was what I really wanted to talk about, I spent part of the week in Dallas at a medical conference, and then I flew to Texarkana, Arkansas, and was able to preach there for them, and spent some time with a real old friend of mine, and that is my pastor from 1962 or 63, to 1968, Minor G. Soper.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And his wife. And he's over 80 years old, and he just retired this year. He went to pastor emeritus. He's about to move to Nebraska and move in with one of his children. But it was just a really great time to preach for him. And he introduced me and got up and told stories about when I was 10 years old. And then... And then I spent the afternoon in their home visiting with his wife. Two things. One, his wife, Marion, who a few of you may know, had a stroke. And one day, or a few months ago, Minor woke up in the morning and she was standing by the bed, just standing there. And she couldn't speak. She just stood there. And he got her dressed and took her to the hospital. And turns out she'd had a stroke. And she still to this day cannot always express herself. She gets very frustrated because she knows what she wants to say and her tongue and her mouth don't don't always work this, to say it, but you know, she came right over and hugged me. But the really interesting thing I thought he told me was, he said she'd brought her home from the hospital, and at this time she could not talk at all. Could not talk. But she walked over, after they'd been home a day or two, to the piano, sat down, and could play perfectly.
All right.
Wow.
And so she played in church. She could, while I was there, she played all the hymns during the church service, but she could hardly talk to us and express herself, except in, you know, very short, 4 or 5 words at a time. But that was still neat, and it's kind of a miracle to, you know, come from being comatose in the hospital to walking in the church and sitting down. Somehow the brain, that part of the brain, retained the ability to both read music and the dexterity to play, even though half her body was almost paralyzed and things like that. But, so, the other thing I want to tell you is I was in that church, and their music leader there has an article this year in the, this month, in the Sabbath Recorder. I hope you're getting the Sabbath Recorder and reading these articles. Dan Richards is their music leader and also their youth leader there. And he writes a great article in here, several page article called I Will Sing, and he talks about his bout with cancer. Since 2002, he's been fighting cancer of the throat, and he's a singer. And he was still singing. And I know that he doesn't mention it in here. He talks about initially having the cancer, but I know he's had recurrence twice. And they've had to go through the whole thing, a very rare, rare kind of cancer that he's had to go to specialists for. And he talks all about that. So it's a great article in his testimony about how the Lord's led him through this. And then in the back of this, there's an article by some other guy who keeps writing articles in here. And so I don't know if it's good reading or not, but it's called God's Footsteps in Our Lives by yours truly. If you do not get this magazine, it's absolutely free. Give us your name and address, and we will put you on the subscription list. You can get it. You can.
We should have a few in the back, too.
Yeah, I don't know if there's this issue is out yet. But yeah, there are some from other months back there. And pick one up and follow my travels around the country and follow what other people are writing, even better stuff than anything I could write. Thank you for your prayers, and I appreciate it. I am home until the last week of January.
Hallelujah.
And then it's on the road again.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ralph. Didn't know Ralph is actually, he's the denominational president.
Yeah.
So this year, that's his part of the thing that he was voted in last year as the president of our denomination. And so he goes around and just encourages the rest of the churches. And so he needs our prayers because, I mean, it's lots of work. If you have your Bibles, and if you would turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. We're in Matthew's Gospel. We're actually been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we are in Matthew's Gospel. We're in chapter 7. If you have your sermon notes, there's sermon notes there. If you picked up a bulletin. One more thing, too. Next week, we're having just a time of celebration where I get to celebrate. Because as the leaders of the church, they pray over me, and Mike Ellingson, who was here for 2 years, is going to be actually here, and I think he's going to be sharing. Is he going to be sharing? Yes. So he's going to be sharing, and then he's also going to pray for me, and as the pastor of Foothill Community Church. So I'm excited, and I'm praying that everybody will be here. It'd be a great, great time. We're in the Sermon on the Mount right now, and we're in chapter 7. Been talking of all kinds of things that deal with our lives. And in the part we're going to be in today, Jesus gives us an incredible invitation. This incredible invitation that I could probably just read it and we could all go home, you know, just because I think it is so clear and plain and understandable. But I won't, okay? So, but we will read it. But we'll read it right now. But Jesus, it's so important. It's an invitation that he gives us. And he gives it to us twice. Remember, I mean, Jesus, he is God's son come down to earth to let us know this is what it's like to live. And this is what I'm this is how I'm telling you to live and to have fulfilled, complete, exciting life. And this is part of it, is in the Sermon on the Mount. And so this is what he says in verse 7 of chapter 7. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" A famous preacher named A.W. Tozer once wrote, "What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." When you think about God, when somebody says God, and what do you think about? It's like, okay, what do I think about God? That's really important to one, how you live this life, how you treat other people, how you pray, how you give, whatever you do in life, it's really important. It's like, what do I think about God? What do I think about God? Now, I want to give you a couple of things of how what people think about God. Even people come to church. Some people think that one, that God is a far distant deity. And that's what some people think. They think God's a far distant deity. They think that one, God's just way out there, and yeah, he's God, but you know what? He really doesn't care a lot about me. He doesn't have time. He's far away. How could God care about all the things in my life? I mean, I'm just one person out of 7 billion on this earth. Why would God care? I mean, who am I? Who am I that God would care? So when I read this scripture, when Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open," you'll just go, "Well, why? I mean, he's way out there. He really doesn't care, does he? Does he really care? He's like too far away to care about me. I mean, maybe he cares about the president because he's really important. Or maybe Billy Graham because he's, you know, maybe he cares about Ralph, you know, because Ralph's the president of the denomination, you know. Goodness sake. You know, but me, you know, he is just way too far away. He's a distant deity. And so when I say ask, seek, and knock, you just go, why? Why should I? Why should I pray? Why should I pray? God, he's too far away. And that's how some people think about God. They're basically living in church as an atheist who really don't believe that one, God really cares about me if there is a God. So why should I pray? And sometimes that's how we approach God. Now, some people also, they think, well, God might care, but you know what? He's limited. God's limited. He's a really nice person, but he really can't help me. All right? He's easygoing, you know, and he's there, and you pray to him, and he really cares about my life, but he really can't do much about it. And so when I tell you to say, and Jesus says, ask, you know, ask God. Seek him. Knock. And he'll do incredible things in your life. You go, well, I've asked before, but you know what? Nothing's happened. Or I've knocked before, and it doesn't seem like anything transpires. Because I don't really think God's powerful enough or big enough to answer my prayer. So why pray? It's really up to me. I got to do what I got to do. I'm living on this earth, and so I've got to take care of myself. And that's how some people think. That I've got to basically deal with all the things that come my way. It's all up to me. So why should I pray? If God is, he cares, but yet he can't really do anything about it. He's kind of impotent. And that's how some people view God. Now Jesus is saying here, he's saying, you know what? One, we got to have a clear understanding of who God is. If you're going to pray, if you're going to ask, if you're going to seek, if you're going to knock, you need to say, God, who are you? And do I have an understanding of who you are? Do I really believe that, one, you're my Father? Do I really believe, God, that you're my Father? That you really care for me? Do you have a heart for me? Do I really believe that? That you're not weak or incapable of meeting my needs? Do I believe that, one, God, you see what I need and you want to meet my needs and you have the ability to do that because you are so in love with me? Do I believe that about God? Do you believe that about God? Do you really believe that he cares that much that he can change your life? If you ask, if you seek, if you knock. Do you have that faith as a child that says, you know what? One, I believe that I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I have no... God, I don't deserve anything from you. And yet because I believed on your Son, Jesus Christ, you've made a way where I can ask you, where I can seek you, where I can knock. And Lord, you're going to do things that I can't do on my own. Do I believe that? Or do you live life like I got to do it all by myself? Jesus is saying, you need to believe this. He's saying, just talk to God. See, I believe what we think about God or how you view God, it really is displayed in your own prayer life or in my prayer life, for that matter. Do I pray about all the stuff that goes on in my life? Or do I just basically do it and just say, God, I hope you're going to bless this, maybe. How do I live my life every day? With my wife, with my job, with the church? Do I trust God or do I trust myself? Jesus is saying, just talk to God. That's what prayer is, right? We know that. You know, prayer, that's all it is, just talking to God. Some people don't pray because they feel like, oh, I'm not going to have the right words. I'm going to say the wrong thing. You know? I won't get the these and the thous right. You know? Or I won't be theologically correct in how I express my words to God that, one, he wouldn't hear me. That's not true. Not true at all. Not true at all. Let's take a closer look at this and see what Jesus is saying. See what Jesus is saying. If you place your trust in him, he's going to hear you. But this is what he says. He says, we are to ask. And first of all, he says, the word ask. What's the word ask mean? Well, it's a word that's used for like a beggar asking for alms or asking for help. All right? Most of us have been in places, if it's not in this country, outside, if you've been outside of this country, almost everywhere you go, there are beggars on the streets. And they're always asking. And I mean, some of them are pleading for help. But that's the type of asking he's saying here. It's not just, oh, can I have a chocolate chip cookie? You know? But it's, God, I need help. I need help. It's like a person that's pleading before a judge in a case. That's what he's saying here. That's what this asking means. It's like pleading and begging, please, please help. Please help. And it's not that God is wanting us to so much feel like that we're so inferior. But it's that attitude that, one, God, I am a human being. I don't see all that's going on. I don't know how all this stuff works. I don't know how to deal with all the issues that hit me every day in life. And all the attitudes of people. And so, Lord, I'm just saying, God, I need your help. You know? It's God. It's like, God, you're in heaven. You see it all. You know. You care. And God, I don't. And it's that attitude of, Lord, you're God and I'm not. So, Father, if you don't help me, I'm toast. If you don't work in my life today, God, I'm lost. God, if you don't provide, I'm destitute. Lord, if you're not real, then I'm a fool. And so that's a type of saying, God, I need you. That's what he's saying, ask. You remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, where it says the Pharisee went in before God, and Jesus was telling this story. It says the Pharisee, you remember who the Pharisees were? Right? They were the religious leaders. They were the ones that basically all they did is study the law and study the truths of the law and try to keep the law to where they felt like they were a step above everybody else. And this Pharisee went into the temple, and he stood before God and says, oh God, I thank you. I'm not like other people. Right? I thank you that I'm not like other men. I tithe, you know, a tenth of what you give me. I pray, you know, four times a day. I do this and I do that. He says, yes, that's who I am. Thank you that I'm not like other people. Like, there, it seemed like there was a tax collector that had walked in, and he says, I don't even like this tax collector. I'm not like him. And he told God all the things that he was because he didn't see his own need for God to work in his life. And yet, what did it say about the tax collector? Tax collector says he wouldn't even look up into heaven. But he just beat on his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner. Have mercy. Change my life. Work in me, God. Do what only you can do. And so Jesus says, we need to ask. We need to ask. We need to ask every day about everything. I'm convinced in my own life. You guys need to be convinced in your own life that one, I can't do anything on my own. I can't. I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good dad. I can't pray. I can't sing. On my own, if it's ever on my own, then it's going to be worthless. It's not independence of God. It's like, what can you do? What do you think you can do on your own? Jesus is the one that said what? Without me you can do? Really? Well, I can walk around. But I think I'm doing that on my own, huh? But if God says, your time's done, you know what? I'm not going to go. I'm going to go and be done. You can do nothing on your own. Nothing. But it's until you get to that point, each of us get to that point, and I say that I believe that, and yet there's probably tons and tons of ways that I don't believe that, because I act it out in ways that show that I really don't believe that, God, you're in total control of my life. But that's a place where he says that's where we need to get to, where we believe, God, that without you I can do nothing. So he says, ask. Ask him for everything. We ought to ask all the time. Every day should be a day of prayer. The second word he uses here is seek. And it's the same word to search or to scour for something. He says, not only you ask, but he says you seek. Which is searching and just scouring, just looking for something. You know, it's like for a woman, it'd be like if your husband brought you a pearl necklace, all right? You thought, sweet, nice, you know? And you got this nice pearl necklace. You're down there holding your baby, and you got your little baby in your arms. The baby grabs the necklace, goes, whoosh, and the pearls go all over the place. You know, and you realize, whoa, this cost my husband like 2 months' wages. What am I going to do? I'm just going to kind of let the dogs eat the pearls? No, I'm going to get down on my hands and knees And I'm going to search and I'm going to look for those things until I get every one of them. And then bring it to the jeweler and say, can you put this back on a necklace before my husband gets home? But that's the type of seeking. It's like, God, I'm going to look for this stuff until you give an answer. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to strain, God, and I'm going to actively make an effort to obtain a favorable reply from you. You know, be it in financial situation where you just say, God, I have financial needs. Okay, am I just going to pray once? No, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to seek you until, God, you bring an answer. Lord, there's a healing situation. There's a health issue here. God, I'm going to seek you until I get an answer. You know, I told you that when I have this factory that we're building right now, and it's like when you're starting something from scratch, it's like trying to watch water boil. You know, it just takes for stinking ever. It's just not happening the way that I thought it would happen, you know. By this time, I thought we'd be up and running and making product, and it just is not happening. But God is saying, do you believe that I've called you into this? And I have to say, yes, God, I believe it. But boy, I sure would like to see something happen. You know, all of us have those things in our lives where God is saying, do you believe me? Are you still going to seek me? Are you still going to hold on to me and not let go? Not let go. You know, until all of a sudden, Lord, you bring that answer. You bring about that which I need. Then he says there's this word, third word, knock. And it's the same word that we would use for pounding or banging on a door. I just kept on thinking knocking would be, you know, knocking and the door will be open. No, it's like, you know. That's what Jesus is saying, that type of knocking, that type of real loud banging knocking. You think, that's irritating. That's irritating. But remember the story that Jesus told when he says, you know, when people were asking him about prayer, he said prayer is like, it's like you're a person who all of a sudden at 10 o'clock at night, you get a knock on your door, and all of a sudden you have 10 family members from out of town that just say, you know what, we were driving this way, sorry we didn't call you up. Boy, we're really sorry that we just showed up, but you know what? We got no place else to go. Can we please come and stay with you? They go, well, yeah, and we're hungry. Well, I don't have much food in my house. Well, I know, but you're a host, and so and so you go, what do you do? So it's like you go, and by this time you've talked to them, and they're hungry, and you go, it's midnight. And so Jesus said, it's like somebody who all of a sudden has these people come over, and it's midnight, and he goes, man, all the stores are closed. They're not like today, but they, at that time, all the stores were closed. There's no place to get any food. So what's he do? He goes over to his neighbor house, and he just doesn't go. No, he goes, boom, 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 knocks on the door, and the guy goes, whoa, what's going on? He says, hey, I've got people come over. We want some food. Can you give me some bread? Shut up. Go home. He says, we're all asleep. Everything's put away. Leave us alone. I don't want to wake everybody up and walking through that dark house. Go home. And the guy just keeps on pounding. All right? You think, how rude. How rude that was, you know? And that's what we would think. But yet, for this guy, the need was so important. So important that he kept on pounding to where finally the guy gets up, gives him the bread, and goes away. I don't know if he was ever a friend again or a neighbor again after that, but that's not what the story's about. Story's about persistence. That's what the story's about. That finally, after that, he says the guy came down and gave him the bread so he would just go away. Just go away. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. If you ask him, he knows, and he's going to give you. But it's like that pounding. It's like almost where we feel like, Lord, are we being irritating? He goes, you're not being irritating. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? That's what that knocking is all about. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you pray with that type of sense of urgency? You know, I think, gosh, you know, Lord, I don't pray like that often enough. Why? Why don't I pray like that? One, because I just feel like, I feel like I live in a world of convenience. And so do you. We live in a world of convenience where we don't have to try that hard. Because a lot of times we live, especially where we live at, in this society. I mean, yeah, you got to work for it, but yeah, it'll come. But we get, if you want fast food, you get fast food. Want fast money, get fast money. Want fast, whatever, it's there. And we can run out and get it. And so I get used to that. I used to just asking once and not being persistent, not striving, not seeking with that type of urgency. And I think you do too. And Jesus is saying, we need to just really realize God is the one who holds our lives in His very hands. And we need to cry out to Him. Because He wants to answer us. He really does. Now, Jesus, when He's talking here, He's not talking to the multitudes. It's not to everybody. It's not to people who are just out there who just know about God. But who is He talking to? The Bible says that He's talking to His disciples. People who have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. As I look around here, I think that everybody in here is basically a believer, has accepted Christ in their lives. You know? But God doesn't answer prayers for everybody. He answers prayers to His children. And people who have relied on Jesus Christ as the only way I'm going to get to heaven. That's people whose prayers He answers. Not just to everybody. But to as many, it says in John 1, 12 and 13, it says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Those who believe on His name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but people who have been born of God. So my prayer is that one, every person in here has at least prayed a prayer, something like this. God, I'm a sinner. You sent Your Son Jesus to die for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to know You. Help me to hear Your voice. Help me to walk with You. Because this world has led me totally astray. I believe You will lead me in paths of righteousness. I hope you've prayed a prayer, something like that in your life. You've at least confessed that one, you need Jesus. He says, one, we're to ask. And then he says, in number two, he says, we're to ask persistently. Ask persistently. Jesus says, he stresses it twice, in fact, he says it, ask, seek, and knock. And in verse 8, he says, for everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to whom who knocks, it will be open. And it's in the present tense participle. I never quite understood what that word meant. Somebody who goes to seminary can kind of someday explain that word. But all the commentators, that's what they say. Present tense participle, which means it's a continuous act. It's not just asking once. It's not, but it's he who, it's like is always asking. The always asking one. Or the always seeking one. Or the always knocking one. It's a continual act. That we're supposed to do is always be asking. So it might be translated this way. For every person who is always asking, the always asking one keeps on receiving. And to every person who is the always seeking one keeps on finding. And to every person who is the always knocking one, keeps finding the door open to them. So Jesus is saying we need to always, always be asking. Keep it up. Be persistent. And like I say, the problem is I'm not willing to be persistent. I've got too many other good things to do. Right? I've got too many, there's too many other things in life to do than to be persistent in prayer. I think. That's my mindset. Remember this, the other story that Jesus gave about the unjust judge. He says, he spoke to them this parable. He says that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was in the certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him and said, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said to himself, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow keeps bugging the crud out of me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming to me she weary me. Then the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his very own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will come and avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I suggest to you that one of the reasons why we don't continue to pray, because we get discouraged. We get discouraged if stuff isn't happening. Some of us struggle maybe with a particular sin in our lives, and we say, God, please take this sin away. Please remove it. Please, God. We find ourselves falling back into it, be it anger or unforgiveness or lust or some other type of thing that just continues to hinder us. And so all of a sudden you just go, oh, God's not answering the prayer, so I'm just give up. I guess that's just the way I'm going to be. God says, no, we need to keep looking to him, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. He says, don't give up. Don't quit. You know, or maybe you feel like, you know what, God, you've called me to in a certain direction. You've called me to do a certain thing, but yet, God, I don't see the doors opening. I don't see you providing. I don't see you working. And so, you know what, God, maybe I'm just not going to do that anymore. I'm just not going to follow that way anymore. It's just too difficult, too hard. And so we give up because all of a sudden, God, we don't feel like God is answering our prayers in his leading, in his guiding. Or maybe there's somebody that one, you've wanted to see them come to Christ. And so they just keep, you know, you pray for them and they get more nasty. You pray more for them, they start drinking more. You pray more for them and they start, you know, just being even more horrible to you and more of an atheist. And you just think, oh, God, I'm going to quit praying for them. Maybe then they'll get better. And that's almost our attitude. Because we don't see God working the way that we think he should. And so we quit and we give up. Or maybe it's just you want a closer walk with God. You've prayed, God, please, I just want something closer to you. I want to know you more. I want to hear your voice more. I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and yet I just feel like nothing happens. And so people give up. And God's saying, don't quit. Don't give up. We need to be persistent. We need to keep going and don't stop. He says, because you will get an answer. You'll get an answer. You know, he says, man, will not God answer the prayers of those who cry out to him day and night? Absolutely, he will. Absolutely, he will. One final thing he says. So keep praying, ask persistently, and then ask with confidence. Ask with confidence. Ask with confidence. Why do we ask with confidence? Because one, who are we asking? We're asking our Father. It's not like a Father maybe that we've had here on this earth. Or maybe he is. If he was a great Father, then yes. Maybe it's something like that. If he wasn't such a good Father, and you have a bad father image, and all of a sudden you think, asking my father, I don't know. That hasn't always been good for me. But this is a different. This is a heavenly father. This is a father who knows our needs, is able to meet our needs. He says, ask that father. So he asks with confidence. He says, you know, which man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? You know, I look at these little kids in here and I think, you know, if one of them came up and asked for a piece of bread while we're in there fellowshipping afterwards, you know, which one of us would say, yeah, here, let me give you this plastic stone here. Or let me give you this. You just go, or a rock. Yeah, here, chew on this for a while. Bonehead, you know. No, none of us would do that. Even the meanest, well, maybe the meanest person would. But you think, that's a crummy father. Or he says, or which one of you who has a son and asked him for a fish would give him a snake? He says, so if you guys are evil and you give your children good gifts, he says, how much more will your father? I remember, I mean, when I've traveled just seeing different missionaries, or Tammy and I have gone on trips together. I remember we always try to stop, especially when the kids were littler. We would always try to stop and get little gifts or toys or something for them, you know, either while we were walking around in whatever city we were in or at the airport. And when we'd always come back, Tricia would always, my oldest, she would always wait for me and say, what do you have for me? You know, she'd go, where's my present? You know, she'd just be waiting. She knew that we were going to bring her back something, and she was excited. She was excited to see us, but she'd start searching through our suitcases, you know, trying, where's my present? Where's my present? You know, and we would always bring her something, Lexi and Danielle, always something for them. You know, because just it was a special time, and they were excited. They knew that they would get something from somewhere far away. And Jesus is saying, you know what, here's the deal. You guys are evil as far as parents, all right? Because when we're not God, we're not perfect. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? We need to just, the whole thing is just talk to God. Talk to him and just say, God, I might have given up on stuff before. I might have quit praying about things that I need to continue to pray about. And Lord, you're just waiting for me just to say, Lord, I'm pressing in. I'm going to continue to pray about this and see you work. The reality is, you know what? God answers every one of your prayers. Sometimes it's no.
Right.
know. But I remember even when Tricia was younger and when she would come in and ask me for something, I would say no. She would kind of hear in my voice what kind of no I really meant. Right? And she would continue to press and press. And I remember when she was about 9 years old, she'd say, that's a wrong answer. You know? And she would just keep pressing and pressing it to where finally I just give in to her. Because one, she's just persistent, so stinking cute, you know? And that's how God looks at you. That's how God, he loves you so much. He is so intimately, wants to be so intimately involved in your life. But he says, are you serious? I'm not going to give you everything you want because everything you want might not be good for you. But I will give you what you need, and I'll give you the things that are going to help you bless other people. Because I want to do that. I want to work through you. I want to show my goodness. But don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking. That's the whole purpose of this message. That's what we're supposed to learn to do, is just to pray. Just talk to God. And it's all by grace. It's not on us. At times it's even saying, God, give me the grace to pray more. Give me the strength to pray more. Give me the confidence to trust you more. So I don't give up. And I keep pressing in. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, that's what we're doing right now. We're asking, Lord, we're seeking, we're knocking. Father, as little children, because, Lord, we realize we do not have it together. Lord, at times we even ask for things that will hurt us, and we're grateful that you just say no. We ask for things that we think that we need, and you still say no. Lord, when we ask, sometimes you say, wait. And Lord, we hate waiting. But give us the grace, God, to trust you. Give us the grace to say, Lord, we're going to stand here and we're going to wait until, Lord, you give us the answers that we need. Teach us, Lord, how to trust you more. Enlarge our understanding of what you're like and who you are, to where we don't give up and faint, but Lord, to where we continue to ask, to seek, the knock, believing that you're going to answer in your way, in your time, for your glory. Amen.